Joe Flood, Reader.
Practical Demon Keeping by Christopher Moore. Travis parked the Chevy on the street in front of Jenny's house. He turned off the engine and turned to catch. "Now you stay here, you understand? I'll be back in a little while to check on you."
"Thanks, Dad."
"Don't play the radio and don't beep the horn. Just wait."
"I promise I'll be good."
The demon attempted an innocent grin and failed. "Keep an eye on that." Travis pointed to an aluminum suitcase on the back seat.
"Enjoy your date. The car will be fine."
"What's wrong with you?"
"Nothing," Catch grinned.
"Why are you being so nice?"
"That's good to see you getting out."
"You're lying."
"Travis, I'm crushed."
"Well, that would be nice," Travis said. "Now, don't eat anybody."
"I just ate last night. I don't even feel hungry. I'll just sit here and meditate."
Travis reached into the inside pocket of his sport coat and pulled out a comic book. "I got this for you." He held it out to the demon. "You can look at it while you wait." The demon fumbled the comic book away from Travis and spread it out on the seat.
"Oh, Cookie Monster, my favorite. Thanks, Travis."
"See you later." Travis got out of the car and slammed the door. Catch watched him walk across the yard.
"I already looked at this one, asshole," he hissed to himself. "When I get a new master, I will tear your arms off and eat them while you watch."
Travis looked back over his shoulder. Catch waved him on with his best effort at a smile. The wind whined. The cold made Brad shiver under his overcoat and two sweaters. Nothing could keep out the biting cold.
"Does she know?" Susan asked.
"Does she know what?"
"Does she know about us?"
Her voice was more insistent now, with a tinge of jealousy.
"I don't know, and I don't care,"
Brad replied, his voice dropping to a whisper.
"Well, you better care. You just better."
Now her voice was cutting, calculating, not pleasant to hear. He wished she'd just shut up.
"Stop it," he heard himself saying. "Just stop it. You're acting like a scared child."
"I am scared," she shouted. "And why shouldn't I be scared? It could ruin lots of things, important things. She's your wife."
In the Garden of My Life by Leonard Nimoy. I have a garden that I love. Once in a while it looks perfect. All the watering, feeding, pruning, and love add up to a moment of beauty. Then I think, if only I could keep it this way, preserve this moment forever. But my garden is alive. Time and seasons bring changes. Living things must change. A life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had but not preserved, except in memory. I am a living thing that must change. If I can accept the changes, I can accept myself. And when I accept myself, I can enjoy the changes and the beauty of the changes in the garden of my life.
"What's the matter?" St. Nicholas asked.
"Oh, Mr. St. Nicholas," Harris said. "We aren't important enough for such a big occasion. Last year, the Archangel made heaven sparkle with gold and silver, and the year before, the heavenly choir made Christmas sparkle with the music of harps and trumpets and hundreds of heavenly voices singing in a magnificent chorus. What could we do that would be good enough?"
"Anything would be good enough," replied Susan. "Anything at all."
"Go fetch the music angel," Bonnie said. "Tell her we need her to create beautiful music for Christmas this year."
"Well, okay," Susan replied. "But she may be too busy to help us."
"It won't hurt to ask. Go do it now," Bonnie insisted. "Go do it quickly."
"Yes, that's a fine idea," Harris chimed in quickly. "Let's set about to create special music for a heavenly celebration."
"Pardon the pun," Susan giggled. "But that sounds positively heavenly."